Dear audience, is it okay? I'm going to continue the contemplation on possibilities to write music history in the 18th century with the example of Estonia and particularly Tallinn. As previously mentioned by my Estonian colleagues, Estonia is a country which has formerly been dominated politically and culturally by more powerful neighbors. Located in the Baltic Sea region, the inhabitants of Estonia have lived within the German cultural sphere for hundreds of years, and thereby the local musical culture has emerged from the German musical tradition. However, from the music historical point of view, Estonia does not belong to the conventional European art music history because of lack of great local composers in earlier times. And for that reason, the traditional historical approach, which enables a narrative of styles and forms organized around the biographies of key composers and their significant compositions, can't be an appropriate method for the history of music in Estonia. Because of the growing interest in the cultures of smaller countries outside the Central Europe area during the last decades of the 20th century, the mainstream perspective of history of music has tended to broaden out from its former, rather centralist view, and to value the relevance of musical activity wherever it takes place. So the history of music in Estonia is important not only for us Estonians, but also for our neighbors to understand both of the diversity of musical culture and of what is common to our wider cultural heritage. My research on the musical life in Tallinn in the 18th century will continue earlier studies in the field of music history in Estonia, based mainly on archival sources. Considering the diverse functional complexes of musical life of a town, for example, institution of cantor, organist, or town musician, music in church and school, public concert, musical audience, etc., I think it is useful to apply a methodology of structural history as implemented in music history by Karl Dahlhaus. As my approach considers musical institutions and musicians in their political, social, and cultural context, the concept of musical work is not essential here at all. Important instead are the social historical and cultural historical aspects of the phenomena in question. Drawing on different kinds of archival sources, I'm going to study various aspects concerning local musicians, their musical activity, repertoire, or music reception. The most relevant secondary sources I'm going to rely on are the studies focused on the specific subject matters of music history in Estonia in earlier centuries, such as Otto Greifenhagen's article on the town musicians of Tallinn, Hillar Saha's studies on organ builders, organists, town musicians, cantors, and music publishing, Elmar Arro's research on Baltic church music history, and Kristel Pappel's monograph on development of music theater in Tallinn. In order to understand the matters of musical life in Tallinn after the Great Northern War, first, it is really important to examine closely the local political and social situation of that time, because the consequences of the war affected strongly the conditions of the musicians and musical culture as well. Next, I will give you a brief survey of these circumstances, forming a relevant context to my subject. Looking back on earlier times, during the 17th century, the period of Swedish rule, the touch of Estonia made rapid cultural progress. The Baltic German intellectual elite began to emerge, consisting of Protestant pastors, gymnasium teachers and civil officials. The continuing close contact with Germanic religious thought and with other Western countries also contributed to the improvement of Estonian cultural life, particularly in Tallinn. Music was mainly practiced within the church and the school, supervised by the cantor, and at the festivities or ceremonies provided by the town musicians. The cantor was a central musical figure in town. He directed the music in the principal churches in St. Nicholas and St. Olaf's, taught in the boys' schools, and provided music for civic functions. The cantor had a cantorai, a voluntary church choir formed of schoolboys and burghers, which could sing Protestant hymns and sacred music as well as secular music. When needed, the cantor cooperated with the town musicians to provide instrumental parts in musical performances. For example, a remarkable and important event in the local musical life was the performance of Johann Valentin Meder's Komödie oder Singspiel Die beständige Argenia, one of the earliest German operas survived, in November 1680. However, this promising development was halted by the great famine of 1694 till 95, the devastating Great Northern War which followed, and furthermore the plague epidemics of 1710 till 11, causing a huge demographic catastrophe. The population of Estonia diminished from 400,000 to 150,000. In Tallinn, the biggest town, from 10,000 to 2,000. So, during the first decades of the 18th century, the cultural development was entirely stifled. Concerning the support of the capital of the Governorate of Estonia, Peter the Great was not interested in investing in modernizing and reviving the town at first. Instead, his main care was to build a naval fortress in Rogervik, today Paldiski, nearby Tallinn. Besides, the new Russian metropolis St. Petersburg, founded in 1703, steadily diminished the importance and developing possibilities of Estonian harbors, especially Tallinn and Narva. So, Tallinn maintained its medieval look and even a way of thinking as regards the organizing of the urban society until the beginning of the 19th century. The war nevertheless had positive results for the Baltic nobility. The capitulation treaties conferred by Peter the Great granted the nobility all their land possessions, the right to self-government, special laws, and the supremacy of the German language and the Lutheran Church. In short, all the former rights of the town councils and nobles' corporations were confirmed. The Diet, the most important organ of Baltic German self-government, consisting of the selected noble families, ruled on all the crucial problems of provincial life, and all also had the right of legislative initiative. The Baltic noblemen were appreciated by the Russian emperors as loyal and efficient officials during the following two centuries. Since Estonian society was mainly an agrarian one, the townspeople formed only 5% of the whole population. The biggest town was Tallinn, which was divided into two distinct areas. Toompea, the upper town, and the lower town, which was separated by a wall since medieval times. Toompea was the residence of the aristocracy and the seat of the central authority, and existed as a separate town under its own administration. The lower town developed as an autonomous mercantile center, which in earlier times enjoyed its membership of the powerful Hanseatic League. So, lower town. This town of citizens and commons under the Lübeck law was governed by German town council, recruited from the merchant guilds and intellectuals. Throughout the 18th century, a strict social structure was maintained in town. The most important category in determining one's social allegiance was the differentiation Deutsch and Undeutsch. The first comprised the German nobility, intellectuals, merchants and artisans. The somewhat disparaging label Undeutsch referred to the Estonians and the lower ranks of townspeople. Next, concerning the cultural and religious contexts of the topic, first, it should be kept in mind that being joined to Russia did not mean a cultural isolation for Estonia. Still, Estonia belonged to the German cultural sphere, and the Germans maintained close contact with German philosophical trends and new ideologies from Europe. After the Great Northern War, new university remained in the Baltic provinces, but young intellectuals from German universities began to settle in the Baltics as teachers, pastors, and officials. At the same time, local youth were sent to study in German universities. During the first half of the 18th century, the influence of Pietism grew in strength, no longer hindered by the ideological pressure of Swedish absolutist monarchy. The number of Baltic students increased in Halle, the center of the German Pietism. Despite its enormous impact on the development of Estonian language, individualistic Pietism found a direct response primarily among the German-speaking clergy and nobility. The Estonian peasantry appears to have welcomed the movement of the Moravian Brethren, which had started in Herrnhut in Saxony. After Pietism and the Moravian movement, the next intellectual trend to arrive in Estonia in the mid-18th century was the Enlightenment. Its ideas were propagated in the Baltic provinces by the German Enlightenment movement, which sought support from absolutism and relied heavily on the Protestant Church. The Enlightenment soon turned into an extensive socio-cultural movement, involving the higher and more educated ranks of the Baltic German society, nobility, pastors, aldermen, doctors, and teachers. The primary media of the Enlightenment in Estonia were books and the press. The first institutional forms of expression were the clubs, societies, and Freemasons' lodges from the late 18th century onwards. Tallinn, although it never reached the prosperity of Hanseatic times, since the mid-18th century turned into a cultural centre with schools, printing plants, libraries, bookshops, German societies, clubs, theatre and so on. The economic progress of the manor estates, based on cheap labour, duties, grain production and the sale of alcohol and meat to the Russian market, enabled the noblemen of Tampere to pursue cultural activities with more enthusiasm, including music and composing. And so did the burghers of the lower town. Now, I'm going to give you a brief overview of the musical life in Tallinn during the 18th century. I'm focusing on some of the essential features related to music institutional accounts, as well as referring to some outstanding names. Similarly to the musical habits of European towns, the practice of music in Tallinn began to spread to a wider part of society. Germans and German traditions dominated both in the organization of music and in the duties and working conditions of the musicians as well as in musical repertoire played. The schools and the church maintained musical activities. The military musicians obtained increasingly important role in musical employment. Alongside the professional town musicians, the number of amateur musicians grew considerably. Inspired by the spirit of the Enlightenment, music was considered a civilized and ennobling pastime. As was then usual in Europe, the local middle class more and more began to take private music lessons and therefore purchase instruments and sheet music. The musical instrument makers gradually found new clients here. For example, Tallinn's piano making tradition began with the organ and instrument maker from Bremen, Johann Friedrich Kremer, who in 1779 came to Tallinn and announced in the weekly Revalische Wöchentliche Nachrichten that he builds and sells the instruments like clavichord, harpsichord, fortepiano, pantalone, positive organ, harp, and lute. He established his workshop on Toompea and trained also the apprentices. He built a two-manual organ with 31 registers for the Tallinn Dome Church in 1783. One of the most important organ builders active in the Baltic provinces during the second part of the 18th century was Heinrich Andreas Kontius from Halle, who in 1768-71 built a three-manual organ with 42 registers for the St. Olaf's Church. Unfortunately, it was destroyed in fire in 1820. Most of the musicians and instrument makers at that time were rather mobile. They came to Tallinn usually from Germany, Gotha, Halle, Hamburg, Lüneburg, Königsberg, Breslau, Danzig, but also from St. Petersburg, Riga, Libau, and from Narva, Pärnu, and Tartu. However, many musicians remained in the employment here for many years. Well, the Tallinners, the noblemen as well as the burghers obviously loved theatre spectacles. So from the 1770s onwards, there are records existing of some itinerant theatre troupes performing in Tallinn, including the operatic works among other plays as well. For example, the troupe of Cesari visited Tallinn on their way to Riga, and considering the list of the operas they performed in St. Petersburg and Riga, we could presume that they may have performed the comic operas by Pergolesi, Galuppi and Piccinni also here in Tallinn. In 1777-80, the German troupe of Nathanael Ernst Hündeberg stayed in Tallinn, playing both dramas and operas. One of the famous German-born organists and composers during the second half of the 18th century, Karl Christian Akte, came to Tallinn in 1776 and was appointed as music director and composer of the Hündeberg's troupe. A 14-year-old talented Akte stayed here for a few years and composed five operatic works for the troupe, including the comic opera in three acts titled Martin Welten, premiered in 1778, probably at the Great Guild Hall. But music has not survived. In the last decades of the 18th century, a well-known German dramatist August von Kotzebue lived in Tallinn. A Russian civil servant, he was sent by the Russian authorities from St. Petersburg to Tallinn to work as an official. By the way, a street in the northern part of Tallinn is named after him. But Kotzebue had still a serious interest in theatre, so in 1784 he established a theatre for amateurs, which was active about 20 years. Both the noblemen from Toompea and the burghers of the lower town attended to the plays, and all the revenues were donated to the charitable purposes. Kotzebue's company played mostly dramas, but also some singspiels were performed. In summer 1795, a German opera troupe of Madame Tilly performed very successfully in Tallinn, presenting the operas by Mozart, Dittestoff, Grétry, Paisiello, and others. This event actually motivated the Tallinners to establish a permanent theatre, and the first attempt was made already in 1796. Talking of the local-born 18th century professional musicians in Tallinn, yes, there are a few of them found out too. Organists, military musicians and town musicians working alongside their itinerant colleagues. But unfortunately, none of their compositions, if they ever wrote any, survive. Finally, I will show you the list of the musicians representing the different institutions active in Tallinn during the 18th century. First, the town musicians. Here, the father and the son, named Ernst Jakob Teves and Mikael Andreas Teves, should be mentioned. For the father, who was the principal musician in 1750 till 76, enlarged the number of his company's musicians from 7 to 10, and possessed a remarkable amount of worldly goods, including a plentiful collection of instruments and sheet music. His successor was his son, who became also the Kapellmeister of the military band and provided music to the public concerts and the musical numbers of the Kotzebue Theatre's plays also. Next, looking at the list of the cantors and music teachers, we can see that after the war, the post of cantor was maintained only in the Imperial Gymnasium of Tallinn. And in 1786, the post of cantor was liquidated. Lastly, the organists. Among the organists, the most requested position was the one of the St. Olaf's Church, as there was the best instrument available, built by Quintius and inaugurated in 1771. And here are some names of the other organists active in Niguliste, St. Nicholas and Dome Church. Well, concluding my speech, I would like to kindly remind you that the issues observed today form the basic informative material to go on with my research into history of music in Tallinn. A lot of archival documents and other sources, such as the local newspapers and writings by the natives, and the sheet music inventories of the libraries and booksellers survived, should be worked through. And as there has new music scores survived, the structures of the musical life in Tallinn and their developments during the 18th century are the main issues to be focused on. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. It was a very interesting overview. Do we have any questions?
Well, maybe in 4 years it's the more proper time to ask the questions about the things.
Well, that's good. Have you found any materials? Well, certainly you are only in the beginning of the work, but just reflecting private music making in memoirs or something like that.
Concerning Tallinn, and focused on Tallinn musical life, well, there was a nobleman called Peter von Manteuffel, and he has written a little simple song which is published by Robert von zur Mühlen in his collection of the Baltische Lieder from the Baltic songs from the 17th and 18th century, and one of his songs is published there. But he's the only person related to Tallinn, as far as I know now. And he was amateur, of course, he was a nobleman.
Yeah.
Theoretical sources.
Basis.
Well, it seems to me now it's useful to apply to the methodology of structural history, as implemented in the music history by Karl Dahlhaus. You mean? Yes.
Yeah, please.
If I understood correctly, Martin was asked actual questions. How can we be sure that active musicianship, to say, of everyday life existed here? Because, well, on the basis of that list, impressive list, who bought the piece of the drama, we still can raise the questions whether they really performed the music. You claim in your paper that actually it's already existed, that music culture. So, on what basis do you claim? Because I find a little bit different views that of Martin and yours. I mean, you are already telling that that culture was well developed as in other European or German cities.
Well, my master thesis was on the history of the Protestant culture in Tallinn in the 16th and 17th centuries, and already then I was studying also relevant studies wrote by German and other music historians and studies on the musical life and the institutions in this Baltic Sea area, the towns we have talked about in these days also. Mostly the Hanseatic towns. And the same is about the 18th century. I have read and will read more studies on the relevant subject matters written by other colleagues who have been investigating this kind of topics. And so I get the picture of the whole region. Trying to get.
Yeah. May I just add to Heidi's that actually when Heidi began her master thesis, we were in close cooperation with a Scandinavian group of music historians studying music around all the Baltic Sea. And there were fine works done by, for example, Fabian Dahlström about Viipuri and Åbo, and then
Heinrich Schwab,
Heinrich Schwab,
Gregor Andersson.
Gregor Andersson. So that Tallinn is nothing, and certainly not Riga, is nothing very specific. They had all spent times also in our archives and in the archives of Riga. So that actually the structure into which to put Heidi's work was just, well, Heidi's work grew out of the questions of this working group, mm-hmm. and now it is continuing with that next century.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.